Where are people coming from today? I mean, why are they thinking the things that they are thinking? Why are they saying the things that they happen to say? So I selected a passage of scripture, just one verse. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 1. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That's the Apostle Paul. He was lecturing to the Corinthians that they were doing things and they were following after people they didn't need to be following after. They were involved in things that were just not what they should do. But they continued to do it. They continued to live it. They continued to follow after the things. But Paul simply says to them, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." He wasn't saying, "Look at me, how great I am." He's saying, "Look at Christ, how great he is. Look at the example that God has called me to set. Pay attention, because this is called influence." And that is something today that we find everywhere. Be an imitator of Christ. Be one that will follow after Jesus. You know, influencing people is something that, whether you realize it or not, you do every day. You may think that, "Oh, well, I don't have any influence." Yes, you do. You may not recognize it as influence, but you do. And, you know, in spiritual matters, you know, we always, I think we have a problem in the church that says, "I'm talking much further down the road than I'm walking." That's a sad part. I got a great explanation, and I'm talking about these spiritual things that are way out here that the saints were called to do, but I'm not walking it. Oh, it's not saying I'm not wanting to walk it. It's just simply saying that I'm just not there. And we know how life is today. You know, they said it was fast in the 1800s. I wonder what they think about it today. How that it goes right past us all the time. Something new, something's coming up all the time. I am not woke. I don't even know what woke is. But when I wake up to woke, I'll let you know. I think I'll sleep through that one for sure. Because I'm not, but it has no interest on me. In fact, there are times when I've said, just hold on for a minute. Let my life catch up with what's going on, all this stuff here. Let me find out what it's all about. You know, in certain areas of my life, I mean, in those certain areas, my life is not always caught up with the things that God has called me to do. Does that mean I don't want to do it? No, it doesn't mean it at all. It just simply says that sometimes I just don't. Am I trying to get there? Yeah, I'm definitely trying to get there. But as a pastor, I'm saying, how can I share with you something that I haven't got to myself? When Paul makes his statement, he says, "I'm there. I'm following him." Did he say I was perfect? No, he didn't say he was perfect. He just simply said, "This is my desire of my heart. And I'm trying to share that with you." I'm not talking perfection. I'm simply talking to you living as God has called me to live. Because that's what's important. You know, I can't be content teaching others if I don't have it. I can't be content laying it out if I have no intentions of living it. You say, "Oh, well, yeah, but I talk about it." Well, you know, I've heard that. I've heard a lot of people talk, but they don't follow up with it. You know who they said the last person is to write a will? A lawyer. The last person that's going to take a physical? A doctor. The one that really captured me and all that thing was the last person to know he has a real spiritual need? The preacher. It's true. One of the great theologians that I admire so much is A.W. Tozer. He says, "We think that we, because we know something, therefore we have it." I think we know a lot about prayer. Do we have it? I think you know a lot about devotional life, something that's been dedicated to Christ. But do you do it? Are you devoted to Him? We know everything there is to know about walking by faith. I mean, Paul's laid it out very clear. We know a lot about gratitude. We know a lot about compassion. We know a lot about kindness. We know a lot about a lot of things. We know a lot about humility and meekness and all of these great gifts that God said, these are the things I'm required of you. These are the things of the Spirit that I think are so important. We know a lot about patience. But we don't do it. Are we patient? Probably not. Oh, I'm preaching to Jim. You just have to get the blessing of being in on this. We just because you know something about it, that doesn't mean that you have it. You know, Paul kept saying, I press towards the mark. I'm pressing forward in this. But we can't afford to be talking further down the road than I'm walking. You cannot do that. This is what Paul was really trying to say to us. Follow my life because by God's grace, I'm following Christ. By God's grace, none of us can follow after Christ or example outside of His grace. I'm sorry, we fail and fall flat on our face many, many times. But that brings me all the way back to where I began with influence. We got influence everywhere today. Social media, everything, and a strong influence. It bombards us all the time. It's coming at me all the time, whether it's social media, whether it's your peers, maybe it's friends at work, maybe it's marketing. Look at the marketing strategies of today. Listen to music. No, don't listen to music. Why? Because it bends your head. I mean, really, it gets into your head, and pretty soon that's driving you to a point that says, okay, what am I going to do? Well, I'm being influenced by what I'm listening to and what I see in life. And everybody lives in that sphere. All of us do. We live in a sphere of our own influence on other people. But it flips over the other way, too. That influence that they have is in my sphere also. Now, who am I paying attention to? What am I following after? Jesus was very explicit in a warning that He gave, and this is the second text. It came out of Matthew's Gospel, out of the 18th chapter, verse number 6. And I'm just going to give you this, but don't lose Matthew 18, okay? But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. If you don't know what a millstone is, ask Richard. He's old enough to tell you. You probably got one around, don't you? You still got a millstone? Yeah, somewhere around that thing. But you think about they said like an 18-inch disc of stone that they used to grind things on, the grain, and they would tie a rope around that and tie a rope around you and chunk you into the middle of the ocean. And down you went. It's kind of like a Jimmy Hoffa deal, you know, concrete boots and all the rest that went along with that kind of deal. But everybody's life is impacted by our influence. But Jesus' warning is saying, make sure that you don't offend one of these little ones. Now I'm going to clarify that. He's not talking about children, okay? He's not talking about babies. That's not what He's talking about. You ought to just be shot if you do that. I said that, didn't I? See, whatever woke is, I'm not that either. If you offend a young Christian, this is what He's talking about. This is a babe in Christ. This is a little one. Someone that has come to faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are offensive, if you've done something to detract from their spiritual walk with Christ, as was going on, and the Pharisees were doing it all the time, Jesus says, here's your warning. It would be better that they just hung this big rock around you and dumped you into the sea where you would drown. That would be far better than facing My Father in judgment, because this is what will happen to you then. It would be far better that this takes place. So how is your influence this morning? Do you back it up? Can you live what you say? Well, this is the danger that Jesus was pointing out. He was pointing it out because there were so many young Christians in the early church. They're coming along. They're believing in Christ. But the Jews had a tendency to try to drive them back to the Jewish faith. They're trying to get away from all of those things. They weren't the babies. They weren't children. They were adults, as we know physically. But in the faith, they were children. They had not come along. They hadn't. So it's always about a personal test that I think that you and I need to apply to our own lives. Are we those kind of positive people that encourage young Christians? Are we taking the influence that we have on people's lives, and are we doing it in such a positive way that would encourage them to walk with Christ? Or are we living a life that says, I'm talking it, but I ain't walking it? I can tell you all about it because I got all the terms and I got everything, but I'm not walking it. What's a little child? It's who everybody is when they come to Christ. You didn't come as a little child. You didn't come. I don't care if you're some sophisticated professional. You had to come as a child if you're going to come to Jesus. And it doesn't make any difference if you're some worldly wise businessman. You got an Elon Musk on a string, you know. It doesn't make any difference. If you didn't come as a child, you didn't get there. It just did not happen. You can be a brilliant theologian. And I know a lot of those brilliant theologians. But they had to come like everybody else came. They came as a child to learn about Jesus Christ. We all come as children. Now, Paul says, grow up. Jesus wanted us to grow up. He wanted us to become mature. He wanted us to do all those things. But if you didn't come as a child, you didn't come at all. And you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself into believing that. That's the designation that Christ gave. But he also gave us a warning. And this is the warning that he's given. If you do, a Christian, a child that's coming to Christ, if you negatively influence that one, how would you do that? It may not be by what you say. It's probably more how you act like. It may not be because we talk big talks. But when we say big things and we live none of it, what does that say to a young Christian? Well, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. And unfortunately, that's what's happened over and over again in the church. We've got so many pious people. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the one down the street. You know what Dave Boy says? But we get so pious, but we're not who we're supposed to be. We're not walking our talk. We're just simply doing what we do. And we end up tripping up other Christians, especially young ones. Now, when Jesus made this statement, he was saying, you did it intentionally. Now, sometimes we do it unintentionally. And that's just ask God forgiveness, okay? But when you do it intentionally to destroy the faith of a young Christian, watch out. It would have been better that this would take place in your life. You know, this is what Jesus is pointing to, premeditated. And that's what was happening in his world. That was what was happening in religion of the day. It was a premeditated intent to destroy young Christians in their faith. And God said, this is what's going to happen to you. This is the designation. This is the danger to the one. Because everyone that came to Christ was important. Now, I know there are times that people say, well, I'm not anything. I'm not much. You know, well, that we could let that. No, we can't. I cannot afford to. Everyone that comes to Jesus is important to God. I mean, absolutely important. Are they perfect? No. They got warts and bubbles and everything? Yeah. But they are important, and they should never be the object of negative influence. That's the warning to every one of us. And it is a danger that we end up doing. But what is the destiny of all that? Jesus wants to talk about the destiny that comes along that. You trip a believer, and you do it on purpose, you do all that. Two terrible destinies you can have, two of them, okay? That one. Put a big rock around your neck and chunk you into the sea, because that would be better than facing God the Father. That would be better than finding the judgment that he were going to. He says it would have been better for him. Isn't that what the word just said? It'd be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That sounds pretty severe to me. But it's exactly how Christ wanted it presented and how he looks at these things right here. Don't offend a little one. Just don't do it. You're in trouble if you even think about it. You see, that's my influence. That's who I am. I talk a lot, but do I walk a lot? Can I give you all the Bible stuff? Yeah, I can do it all. But can I live it? Do I live what I'm saying? Okay. What happens when you can't? Well, then you need to discipline yourself. You know what God said? Hey, you'd rather hear it from me than from him, I think. And if you're dumb enough to ask him to give it to you, well, I'm sorry, it'd be a little more severe than what I can hand out to you. But he says these very things to us. Think about the influence that we give. Think about the influence that's coming upon us. We have to discipline our bodies to keep them under, so we don't go walking after perversions, that we don't chase after things we should not get into. Is that not correct? I mean, if your feet's going to lead you someplace, well, then break your ankle or something. You know, I'm sorry, Walter, is that what happened? You're out boogalooing and it didn't happen that way. I'm just messing with him because I like messing with him. But the temptation that we have today, right here, what do you look at? Things you shouldn't. What do you take into your body? Things you shouldn't. Well, it won't hurt me. I just don't do it. I just do it very little and everything will be just fine. Well, you can say that all you want to, but all it says to me is that we're resisting discipline. We're not disciplining ourselves. And when you don't discipline yourself, you're inviting spiritual disaster upon your life. This is our influence, people. This is who we are. Well, I'm not the preacher. Thank goodness. You don't want to be the preacher. I'm held to a whole lot more than you're going to be held to. But do you not think you're going to escape this? No, you will not. We will all be held to this right here. We must deal with it when it's small. The first line of resistance, okay? You know, bypass that place. Don't pull in that parking lot. Get away from that. Turn the TV off. Go someplace else. Do something instead of waiting to the last moment to escape. And how do you escape? Hang the millstone around your neck. Oh, what did Jesus say? Cut off your limbs. Isn't that what he said? If your hand offend you, chop it off. Now, I don't really think people are going to go out there and chop off their hands, and they're not going to do this. And it's extreme. I understand it's all extreme. But if that is the only alternative to habitual sin, you might want to think about it. But I know it's not the only alternative. I know that we can do what God has called us to do. It's called for discipline. It's called for the things that God has the ability to work out in our lives. Over in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go back over there, but I'm not going to that same chapter. I'm going to go to the 9th chapter. And I want to read you just a passage that came out of the 9th chapter. In fact, I think I wrote that down over here. Yeah, I sure did. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what Paul let everybody know he was? I have to rein in what I know would be wrong. I have to stop myself from going to a place that I should not go to. I have to do this as a discipline to myself. Because why? Because he gave it to us when we started. because I want you to be able to see me and at the same time recognize that I am a true follower of Christ. When people look at you, are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? It's more than theory, people. It's practical. It's a walk. It's more than what you can say about it. Talk, talk, talk. I hear plenty of that. How much do you walk? What do you do? I mean, these are the things that they're critical. And it's all about your influence, my influence. It's about who we are everywhere. Not just where you think on Sunday morning that your neighbor over there thinks you're a great person. I shouldn't listen to some things, because then I have to tell you more truth than I want to give you. Have you ever stopped to think about people to say, well, a blind person, they could. Now, a blind person could lust. People that have no feet, they can still run towards sin. And they do. All of these things are exactly what takes place. But God said, be dedicated to discipline. Be dedicated to it. I'm not talking, I always said it, I'm not talking about perfection, but I am talking about living a life pleasing unto the Father. And I'm being on a first name basis with him, where you can talk to him all the time. What is wrong with that? I call that dignity. And I think that's what Christ called it. I think it talked about honorable before the Father, the things that we should do all the time. In Hebrews, in the first chapter, the first 14, he talks about what takes place in our worship time. He says that the Apostle Paul said, you have to understand, y'all didn't get in on that one, but it's a great debate about who wrote Hebrews. I already know who did it. It's Paul. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are they not? He said there's those that are watching over lives to protect us, to preserve us, to keep us. What are they seeing? They're not just seeing your put-on deal. They're not seeing my put-on deal. They're seeing me in private. They're seeing when nobody else sees. They're there to protect the servants of God. That's why they are there. It's the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's all about that very thing. Think about Satan. Satan was tempting Jesus. What did he say to him? Oh, just jump down off the temple, the highest point like that. Why? Because if you go back into Psalm 91, he makes this statement, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, even if you're stupid. And you'd have to be stupid to jump off a building like that, okay? God's going to go, well, come on in, baby, because you just hit the ground. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not do any of those things right there. How do you worship him? It's not just about the wonderful music we listen to and the movement of our spirit. It's about how I walk every day and I worship God. Am I doing it in such a way as in humility, adorning the very object of who God is and having that blessing right there? If not, I'm probably doing harm to somebody because I'm not living. I'm not walking what I'm talking. Come back to our influence again. Come back to who you think you are and who God says you are. You know, that could be a big difference. But it's a difference that we need to pay attention to. It's a difference, what he said, just like Paul, follow my life. And look, do you not think that he did everything so he would never offend someone? He lived his life out. Was he perfect at it? I don't think so, but he was pretty close. Paul's walk was deep. You didn't catch him off guard somewhere down the road. You didn't get him slipping and sliding out of some place he shouldn't have been, because he was going to honor Christ. So when you see me, you see I follow Christ, therefore you follow Christ. That's my influence. That's my example. It is not, if I can't express, let me express this one more time. It's not about your public image. It's about what we do when nobody else is around. Why did the preacher preach to him? Because the preacher knows. For years, I've always driven distinctive vehicles. You know, well, don't you laugh at me, Walter. But I'd have. I've always driven trucks that had way too much chrome on them. I drove a yellow Courier. Now, if anybody saw that thing coming down the road, they knew exactly. I'd be the only knucklehead enough to drive a yellow Courier. I mean bright yellow. Why? Because I didn't want to be anywhere that I shouldn't be. I'll just tell you this real quick. I was asked by a dear friend to speak to a young man. Young man said he'd only meet me in a pool hall. Clicks, okay? But if I'm going to go be an impact on his life, I went to Clicks, all right? We had a family in our church at that time. Dear people, the Hammers, they were great people. They never went anywhere, never. They lived in Bell Mud and never left it. Well, actually, they lived in Lacey Lakeview, so. But anyway, they never left it, okay? It's a Wednesday. I meet this guy over there, and I share with him. And, of course, my friend, who's a preacher also, he said, don't let him know you're a pastor. Don't let him know you're a preacher. I said, okay, whatever. And I shared with him because he'd been in and out of the county jail. And I just told him, you know, I said, look, that's no life. And I had a great time, okay, that night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting night. Our little bitty church, those people that never went anywhere, the first thing that she asked me, how was your eight ball game? I'm glad she didn't ask me how the long necks were, but I'm going, are you kidding me? How would you ever? Well, because we saw your truck. That's why I drive that truck. If you don't know the one, that red one that sits out there all the time, who is that? Well, probably going to be the preacher, because it's not about the vanity as much as you think it might be, as much as it's about, I don't want to be someplace I shouldn't be, and I'm taking a precaution here. Don't drive it, because I don't want to be talking further than I'm walking. I want to live my life out here, and I want to do it the way that God wants me to. So, how about you? How about precautions that you take? How about your influence? Some of you are in positions of influence all the time. Some of you have been teachers, which I think have a greater chance of influencing kids than I'll ever have. Some of you are, you know, run businesses. Some of you work alongside people that, you know, they need Jesus. Are you the influence that they need? Or is there some kind of discrepancy in your life? You know, the people that you know the best, when you know there's a discrepancy, that it doesn't match up, what do people say about that? Well, I know what they'd say, what I'd say about it. I don't believe you. Sorry. There's no credibility here. Why? Because your walk and your talk is not the same. I'm not saying people don't mess up. They do mess up. But our lives, every bit of them, should match up with walking with Christ. That's what it should be all the time, walking with Jesus Christ. That will give you credibility. If you walk like Paul walked, that's a message, an influence, a teaching that you don't even have to open your mouth. In fact, you'd be better off keeping your mouth closed. But it's a message that we must have. And it's a message we must give, because that's God's message. I am living the life. And you know, when you do that, you got liberty. It's liberty. You know, you're free. You're not afraid. You can go out. You can be who you are. If you don't know me by now, I have fun, okay? I know I am not the reserved, respectful, right reverend, whatever, but I never intend to be. I intend to enjoy my Christian walk, but yet keep it where it should be. That's what I intend to be. No platitudes, none of the other stuff that you think preachers got to have. All I think they have to have is that they walk before God and their influence is what God wants. So this morning, just a couple questions. You know me, I love questions. You had any issues with God? Does God have any issues with you? Is his word something that you have a hard time obeying? There are times it's tough. But that's why the Spirit is much tougher. And his power is so much greater. But sometimes we have a hard time. Am I quick to say, oh yes, Lord, I'm going to be there, yeah. And then never show up? Or am I quick to say, yes, Lord, and not turn to my own way, but turn his way? You see, this is practical Christianity, people. This is what God wants of every one of us. Whether you're in school and you've got classmates that are beside you that like to make fun. I wish Lisa was here. I'd point her out now, but she's not here this morning. But no, I mean in a good way, Mike. I wasn't going to point her out bad. Lisa Russell lived and walked every day in a hallway of Jefferson Moore High School. Okay? You say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's integration. A little white girl carrying a big black Bible, not for show, but because her testimony. Yeah, her testimony. My 99-year-old mother had the privilege of leading her to Christ. I've had the privilege of being her pastor. And if she's messed up, you know why. I've been her pastor for 45 years or more. So you know what's wrong with her. That's the problem right there. I hope they don't show up tonight, honestly, because if they show up, none of you are going to win any of the trivia questions. They know more trivia. Well, I'm sorry, Larry. You hold your own all the time. One more question. Well, maybe two. Is my private lifestyle consistent with what I say? If people don't know you, you talk a big talk, that they may buy into that you're the next thing to the Pope. But if they know you, all you're doing is demeaning the name of Christ or giving them an excuse to live any way they want to live too. And that's a scary thought. Is your message outrunning your life? That's your influence.